Okay, let's begin. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Vav. Page Kuf Lamed Vav. I'm just going to do a little bit because I have a good topic today. Today I want to talk about something very mystical. So I want to save some time for our topic. So let's look a little bit. This is also very important. Kuf Halacha.
No.
Halacha Kuf Nun Hey. On page Kuf Lamed Vav. Okay, page Kuf Lamed Vav. Halacha Kuf Nun Hey. Ze Yisoid Limud Hayira. Yisoid Yirei Hashem. What is the secret of learning of how to fear Hashem? Kishatovel Lasa Shum Davar. When a person begins to do anything, Tachshav Im Hoya Adam Acher Oisehu, you should ask yourself if you were another person. If another person would come to we would want to do this. Im hoya shoyal l'cha etza me hoyisa me shivloi. It's a very interesting idea to try to be objective. It's almost impossible. But whenever you do something, you have to ask yourself the question: why am I doing this? Am I doing this because for the right reason or for the wrong reason? When you do something, why are you doing it? For the covet? You're doing it because you enjoy it? You want honor? Or you're doing it because it's the right thing to do?
Does it matter with certain
messages? Well, mitach shaloy lishma bo lishma. 21st century, what? No, it doesn't matter. You're right, it doesn't matter. That's the answer. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is, when it comes to tzedakah, the bottom line is the poor person has the money. But when it comes to give money to go make another shul, let's say you want to go build another shul. Oh, there aren't enough shuls in the neighborhood? There aren't enough shuls in the neighborhood? L'kavoy l'hagdil toru l'hadira. I want to go build another shul across the street. So do you realize, by building another shul across the street, you're going to antagonize the five rabbanim that already are in the neighborhood, and you're going to take away from their, they're going to take away from people from their minyanim, and you're going to deplete the resources from them as well. No! Toire. Lahagdil Tara Lahadira Oribui More Tara. Really? Now Al Pi Halacha you could write an encyclopedia why it's permitted and why it's mutter and why it's correct, but sometimes it's just dead wrong. Okay? The whole life is like that. You can get away with murder, literally. In halacha, you can get away. You do it with a shinui. Just kill the guy with a shinui, right? In halacha, you can get away with anything. And you can write books and books, and you can rationalize anything. But sometimes it's kineged kol ha-toira kula. It's very, very hard to catch yourself. When a person, you don't realize, you know, ge'e b'davar, you know, it's your honor. You need what to do. You need an outlet to express yourself. There are so many reasons why a person subconsciously needs, not just wants, he has the need. And sometimes, you know, the reasons, the needs are so great, it's worth it. There's no question about it. Sometimes, you know, people, they have needs. So if I have a need and the halacha permits me to do so why can't I do it? Why not? What? Am I obligated? Is that really, does halacha not allow me to do it? So he's going to be insulted because I opened up another shul? Is that a reasonable thing? I don't know. It depends. You know, it's not simple. Nothing in life is simple. There's always another side to the story.
In the Times this weekend, in the magazine section, in the ethicist, they had somebody was calling if it's proper to give, if he wanted to do tzedakah a certain way, if it's proper. They had a couple of questions in a row, and the answer was he kept quoting the Rambam. What it says, it's okay, but there are better ways to do it. And this is he listed all the levels of giving tzedakah. He kept quoting the Rambam.
Okay, you can't trust anything.
No, but
Ethics is a very big thing by the Goyim. It's a very big thing because by the Goyim, it's always basically, is it legal? Is it the law or not? Taxes, is it, do I have to pay the money or not? Is there a tax shelter? Can I go to tax lawyers? A tax lawyer will tell you, you're not mechuyif to pay the tax if the law allows you not to pay the tax. You don't have to go be a tzaddik. and go give the government all of your money. If there's a way to protect yourself, to shelter yourself from paying enormous sums of money by doing certain things, go for it.
That was the Supreme Court case. 100 years ago, Supreme Court case. Someone had a tax shelter, and the state said you had to pay whatever.
Yeah.
And what the Supreme Court says, if it's legal,
it's legal. It's a land of laws. We live in America. America, and that's how it has to be. That's the way it is. It's the land of laws. That's the way it has to be like that. But outside law, there is something called ethics. And in America, the first coming around now, a little bit to appreciate the something called ethics. A little bit.
Politicians?
Not politicians. I don't know. There's that. In Torah, it's all about ethics. Like, you know the difference. There's the mitzvahs, haboire, and there is the ritzoin haboire. There are the commandments of the Creator, and there is the will of the Creator. And even though according to the commandments, it's permitted, I'm not in violation, is this really what Hashem wants you to do? Is this really the right thing to do? So the only way now, the person doesn't even really know, because the person cannot be objected. That's the reality of life. Yeah. No, absolutely not. When you come to a Bezdin, Bezdin is Yikoif Hadin Esahar. When Rachman al-Islam, a person has to go to a Bezdin, it means you got to follow the law, whatever the law is, period. That's the job. That is the job of Dayanim. Dayanim is not to be ethical. The job is, this is the halacha, period. You're guilty, you're innocent, period. That's what Dayanim do. Now, they also have a role to give sermons on Shabbos to tell people to be ethical, so you should not end up coming to Beis Din. If people were ethical, it wouldn't even happen that they would end up in Beis Din fighting over a couple of dollars. They would have been gracious enough that one thing would not lead to another where they would hate each other and they're fighting over a few dollars. But once you're in Beis Din, Beis Din's duty is to paskin the halacha according to the letter of the law. There's another issue that he's touching upon, is that no one today knows what the halacha is. When it comes to chosha mishpa, there's no one today qualified, not only today, going back already for centuries, for hundreds of years, who knows, chosha mishpa is so complex, so super complex. Who can say they know Chosha Mishpat inside out? They can tell you, take away your money. They can take away money from you and give it to him. And that is why, unfortunately, Ve'ela HaMishpatim, this Rosh Tevas, God of Rosh Tevas, is what we call this dirty word which no one wants to hear, Pshara. Pshara is dispute. Well, now don't say the word compromise. That's not a good word. Dispute resolution. Beis Din today basically is nothing more than a religious dispute resolution center. Arbitration. What are they doing? Beis Din in the time. Beis Din is, listen, we learn Shulchan Aruch, we do this the whole day, we know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You have a court case, you have a dispute. It appears from Shulchan Aruch that this guy is right and you're dead wrong. That's what it appears. It appears that he's right. You owe him $1,000. That's what it seems to say. Sometimes case closed. You're going to go tell me an argument, no, maybe this, maybe that. Do we really know? We learn Shulchan Aruch the whole day. We have smicha, yodin, and we do this the whole day. It appears that you owe him $1,000. You presented an argument. We hear your argument. It doesn't seem 100% correct. Maybe yeah, maybe not. The most we can do is, so you know what, instead of giving him $1,000, give him $950. Okay? Not $500. Just because the guy says some nonsense, you don't give him $500. So give him $950. Keep for yourself $50. Is that fair between you two people? Is that enough to settle the dispute? Sometimes the guy will say, no way. He owes me $1,000. $1,000. I don't want $150. I want $1,000. Okay, if you're coming to Beis Din, and you accept upon yourself that these are going to be your three dayanim, zeh bar lo yechad, the dayanim, they're smart people, they know the halacha, they do the best they can. If you're right, he'll give you $1,000. If they feel the person has an argument which may carry a bit of weight, and no one, who are they to say that we are absolutely certain? So it's basically arbitration, no different than what's done today outside of court. Outside of court, there's a big business today. It's a major business of dispute resolution arbitration. Okay, it's a big thing. What? So that's what a Beis Din is today. Beis Din today has become, unfortunately, a arbitration, but it's not like a Goyish arbitration. It's rooted in halacha. And there are many halachic precedents. It's nothing new. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of shels and tshuvas, modern times, contemporary times, going back, and that's all different issues of Chesh and Mishpat, many shelos, and many times, Bezel Paskin, let's say, you lose millions of dollars. I know Rybelski, he Paskin of millions of dollars. Nothing faced him. He passed in mamish cases dealing with literally millions of dollars. He awarded millions of dollars to one person and told the other person, go fly a kite. This is the halacha. What do you want from me? It's not me. This is a Shulchan Aruch. I can't help you. No pshara in this case. It's clear cut. Okay, halacha is halacha. Yikoiv hadin es hahar. The halacha penetrates. It pierces even through a mountain, a mighty mountain. Halacha is halacha no matter what. So the only way a person now, that's when it comes to halacha. But when it comes, then there's lufnim b'shuras hadin. Then they're doing other things which are not in shulchan aruch. It's a matter of ethics. So here the Sefer Chasim is giving a person advice. And the advice is not bulletproof, but the advice is try to be objective. And the best you can do to be objective is put yourself in someone else's position. If it was someone else, how would you feel? How are you want to go make a new shul? Okay, very nice. I want to go make a new shul. In the neighborhood, within one block, there are already five shuls. If I was the rabbi of one of those other five shuls, how would I feel? There are only that number of people that are within walking distance of the shul on Shabbos. So how many people, how thin can you spread yourself out? Certainly, you can take away from each shul one or two people. So if you were the other person, how would you feel about it? So that's the best you can ask for. Because you yourself, a different clientele, it's a different neighborhood, it's a different block, it's a different times, different age group, you have a million reasons. Very good, you have a lot of good reasons, and maybe you're right, maybe you are 100% correct, but put yourself in someone else's shoes. How would they feel? Who says you're obligated to take them into consideration? I don't know, everything is different. But this is what he does say, a person should not ignore this kavana.
So Rashi says, Tov is being a Adam. Tov is being a Hashem, Yosher is being a Adam.
Other people. So this is his advice. It's very similar advice. As we say many times, you don't need books to tell you. It's intuitive. But unfortunately, as you tell me all the time, common sense is not so common today. So Zeh Yisoid Limud Hayira Yisoid. The secret of Yirei Elokim, Kishetavoy, Utfilas Chacham Yiras Hashem, Kishetavoy Lasa Shem Davar, when a person has an initiative to do something new, whatever it may be, first thing is take a step back. Make believe you're not the person that's doing it. Make believe you're an observer. You're going to be opening up the FJJ and you're going to see a big advertisement fundraising for your new organization, your new Chesed organization. What is that observer going to think? Tachshayf. Imhoya Adam Acher Oisehu. Imhoya, if someone else was doing this, and he would come and ask you advice, Imhoya Shoyalucha Eitza, Mehoyisa Meshivloy, what would you say? You would say, another shul, another this, another that. Why don't you just be Ma'ache? Why don't you fortify what we already have? V'chein Amru, as they said, V'tif Eretz Loy Min Ha'adam, this Pirkei Avos. Ezel, what is a derech asher yavar loy ha'adam? What is a path in life that a person should take? So it says in the Mishnah two things. Kol she teferes loy, I don't remember the exact words. It's an honor to Hashem, and it's also an honor to people. She teferes loy min ha'adam. Other people will give you praise. the proper path that man shall take in life, the derech asher yavor loy ha'adam, should be something which Hashem will have nachas, and your fellow man will also have nachas. Ask people if there's a need for this. V'tiferes loy min ha'adam, kasher pilalto lacherim, the same way pilal, you judge others, tire l'cha, that's how they look at you, you shall tire, they look at you. The same way if someone else would do this, you would react in a certain way. When you're doing it, they're going to react that same way and see how they respond. I read recently from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says the greatest thing you can do in this world, the greatest person in this world, is the person that leaves this world who does the least harm. You think you have to be a goyin and no kalter or kula, and build institutions? The greatest thing is, don't cause another person pain. Do no harm. Okay, do no harm. It sounds easy, right? Not so easy. Everything you do in life, you have to ask yourself, am I causing someone else tsar by what I am doing? And sometimes you don't have a choice. That's the world. We don't live in a perfect world. You don't have a choice. You have to go and take care of yourself. You come first. Many times your family comes first. You come first. You have to take care of yourself. Is there a way to take care of yourself without causing someone else tsar? We hope. We try. Without stepping on someone else, try the best you can.
If somebody loses an entire, tough luck on him.
That's right. He's a ganef. Forget to lose. There are different times. That's not a good example, because you take a person with the entire, usually because you believe they're a ganef. I mean, a ganef is a ganef. Okay. You can't generalize. We all know that in life. We all know you can't generalize. But the first thing in life is do no harm. The Chazon Ish writes, this is the greatest thing you can accomplish with your life. Your first focus is do no harm. It seems very simple, right? Go through the day. Go through the day and see if you're fulfilling this.
So if you're living in a hall and door by yourself, you'll be a son?
You won't live. You can't live like that. That's not life. Obviously, everything is taken in balance, and you come first, your family comes first, your children come first. You know, there are certain things.
Not
like someone,
you have children if you live alone.
So obviously that's not called life. That's not part of the rules. Like someone, I told you this not long ago. Someone he was called, and he has a child that is a terror, and just a matter of time until the yeshiva throws him out for destroying the yeshiva, doing all the trouble you can possibly make. So vayihi hayoyim, he gets the phone call from the principal. We would like you to come down to the yeshiva, and the principal is now had it up to here with this kid. They're going to throw him out of the yeshiva. The kid has to go. So the parent walks into the yeshiva, and the parent said that the principal, he lays out all of the crimes. Okay? All the crimes. And the parent's sitting there, and the parent says, what? Are you telling me that my son is not the best boy in the yeshiva? Here, the principal is telling the parent that your child is not even the bottom of the barrel. He's not even that. And the parent is saying, what? You're telling that he's not the top? He's not going to be the valedictorian this year? What? So he threw the principal off. And the parent was sincere, you should know. The parent, you know, Dr. Mandel told us this story. And the parent was really sincere. The parent really, what? He's not the best? And because he was so sincere in how he reacted, he threw the principal off balance to such a degree, the principal decided, all right, we're not going to throw him out. We'll figure out a solution. So, I'm sure, but the point over here is that that's right. Who's right in this case? That's a parent. A parent is an advocate for his child. That's exactly the parent got it right. That's right. My child is the best in the world. The parent is absolutely right. Okay, you know, we got problems. We got to deal with the problems. But the attitude is an amazing attitude. And, but the kid is beating everyone up. All right, we have to, you know, we have to find a solution. But this is a very important insight, and the only way you can at least make an attempt is to try to be objective, put yourself in someone else's shoes. You have to ask yourself that question. Whenever you do something, some people never even ask the question. They're so self-absorbed in the way they live and what they do, it never even occurs to them to think, well, what does someone else think? What are they thinking? How would I feel if the tables were turned? Some people that are so selfish in every given situation, you don't even enter your mind what it looks like to someone else.
Why is the kid acting up?
Okay, that's another. It's a frightening thing. Reishis chachma. Let's go next pack. Reishis chachma, kinei chachma. The first reishis chachma, the being of chachma, kinei is a pasuk. Kinei chachma, acquire chachma. What does this mean? Over kinei chachma. Kishagia bin chalumay al tikne loy. El Rav Chacham Virei Shamayim. He's saying over here something very, very simple, but yet for some reason not everyone gets this. That a Rebbe, there's something more than just the Rebbe teaching you the content of the learning. It's very important. They talk about this idea in Chinuch, when the people who are out of town especially, and they have to send their kids to the yeshivas that are not even in town. You can send your kids, sometimes people have a choice, they can send their kid to two different yeshivas. One like a very modern school, and they'll get a phenomenally good education, and the other school they have a Rebbe who's Yerush Shamayim, but he doesn't have the best pedagogical skills. So you can argue, send the kid to the school where they'll teach him everything he needs to know in life, he'll know Tanakh, he'll know how to read Ivrit, and he'll know everything. But those teachers, sometimes, they're not Yerei Shemayim. They're Mechalei Shabbos. Okay? This is more of an issue years ago. Yeah. Many, many years, this is a very big issue. You're dealing with, you have a certain choice. Today, it's not really like it. You don't have, it's a different world today. But you do have, sometimes, these type of situations. He's writing over here something very, very important. And that is, when it comes to chinuch of small children, even if the Rebbe is not going to end up, at the end of the day, teaching him as much knowledge as he should, as a child needs to know, it's not a perfect world, do not discount the concept of that the child is in an environment of Yirei Shamayim. Now, I'm not talking about, we're not talking Chashem, we have other issues of bullying and people that are molesting children. I'm not talking, put it all aside. Let's just talk about you have a choice of a child being in an environment of Yirei Shamayim, and unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. He's not going to get the education he deserves. Versus being in an environment of Mechalei Shabbos, he'll come out knowing quite a bit. That's the statistics. So he writes here something which a lot of people don't want to hear, and he writes, Al tikne loy el rav chacham, halavai yishbi chacham, virei shamayim. The most important thing in hiring a yeshiva ketana rebbe, the most important criteria of all the different things, some of them come with PhDs today. You can get a yeshiva ketana rebbe for nursery as a PhD in child psychology. And he knows Tanakh inside out, and he knows how to talk. You can have, telling you people, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of talent out there in this world. Baruch Hashem, there's lots of talent. But the top of the list that you want for your child is that for a very small child, as a child gets older, obviously it gets a little different as a child gets older, but for a very small child, Iker is Yiras Shemayim. Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. If you're in the presence of a Yirei Shemayim, it rubs off. Right. They used to do that. Not anymore, because it doesn't really work. It doesn't work so well today. It used to be not that long ago. Is that a lot of the lit? No, today not. It doesn't work so well anymore. It used to be years ago. Litvisha families would send their children like through I don't know, to a certain grade, very very early grades. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I have no clue what's going on over there. But I remember years ago, I could tell you people's names. Is that the parents, the real Litvaks, and they put their kids in the Litvish yeshivas, but in the early grades they sent them to Hasidish yeshivas, because they really liked the flavor of. You'll tell me it's the warmth.
Yes.
It's the warmth. Yes, it's maybe it was really more. There's a certain. Is it really Yir Shemayim? I don't know. Yir Shemayim? I don't know. Today, I don't see that anymore. These same people that I know who went through that type of system, they do not do that to their children. They're not sending their children to Teferis Elimelech and then switching them over to a Litvish yeshiva. They're not doing that. They send the kids from kindergarten to wherever they send them, straight through. So it's changed today. Things change today. But this is something very, very important of Yirei. There's something about a Rebbe of a Yeshiva Ketana, of being a Yirei Shemayim. And this is a very big problem, because today, unfortunately, no one can make a parnasa. There's no such one breadwinner. Every woman today works, kimat. Every woman works. Who takes care of the children? The Mexicans. Okay? The Mexicans. Yeah. Talk about having a wall between have a wall in your own house. Build a wall in your own house. Today, who's raising the children? The Mexicans. No, there's nothing you can do about it. That's the way we live. You don't have a choice. That's how it is. That's the way it is. But unfortunately, we're losing, because where it used to be, where most of us were raised by our mothers, and your mother instilled in you authentic Yirah Shemayim, you can't expect a Mexican to instill Yirah Shemayim. And when your mother comes home and she's texting on the smartphone the rest of the time, it doesn't help very much either. So, listen, what are you going to do? That's how it is. That's life. You can't do anything about it. That's the way we live today. But he, you see, he's just stating the obvious. Shenemar Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. The Iker in Chinuch Habonim is children to be in an environment of Yiras Shemayim. It does make a difference. It does trickle down. A child's mind is like wet cement. You only have one chance to make a first impression. Think about it. It's only 4 years. Think about it. I was talking to someone about high school. High school boy. It's only 4 years. Okay, high school was already adult, but you should know today, high school boys, I think, are already on like elementary school. In my eye, I know some of these kids, the high schools have gone down to elementary school levels. Only 4 years. So what's the big deal? So let's say he blows it. He messes up those 4 years. Big deal, right? So he has a whole life ahead of him. It's not the way it works. One day in the life of a boy in ninth grade is like 3 months in the life, at least 3 months in the life of an adult. It really is. One day for a ninth grader is like 3 months for an adult, or maybe even more, maybe it's even 6 months. Because the mind is open. The mind is receptive. The mind is developing. A child that age is thinking about life. What do I want out of life? Where do I want to go? And it seems big deal. What does the kid do in the summer? A few weeks here, a few weeks there. The kid's off, this, that. It's not true. It really, really, I know myself. We all look back. Things, that time of your life is very, very special. How much more so the lower you go? The lower you go down not obviously a kindergarten, obviously it's not true, obviously. And not sugar. So you take the baby in the nursery and put him in the base medrash. The Gemara talks about that. They put the kid, and then when he's an infant, into the base medrash. Okay, we're not that crazy. We're not that level. But once a child already gets to an age where he begins to develop, you know, your environment makes a major, major difference. Yiras Hashem reishis das zekede lachnisa the Yiras Hashem. The Yod Nikol Reishis Titin Lo Reishis. From all Reishis, give him what Reishis. Kol Bikurei Kol V'chol Tumas Kol V'chentein loy reishis hayoyim v'halayla l'barchai. B'meh shemahane b'ayoyim u'valayla. Now what does he mean over here? He means over here, he's coming to attach the word reishis. Look over here on the parish on the side. On the left side it says, Kishyagia bin Khashnemar Yiras Hashem on the parish, Kadmain, Raishis Das Vze, Umasha Omar, Vi Oid Mikol Raishidin Loi, Raishis called Rotzaloimar. Mikol Dover Raishis T ten lo. Vidover Zenilmad Nimilas Kol Hanemar Beposig Raishis. Vinilmoid Gam came with like Siv Raishis Das Yiras Hashem Kmay Raish Khma Yiras Hashem Shma Mino. The pasuk b'gamkin l'rame sheyiras Hashem hu imtitein mikol horeshis liyiras Hashem. I'm not sure what this means. I really apologize to you. I don't really understand what this means. Let's go further in the words. Back on page kuf lamed zayin v'chein tein lo horeshis hayoyim v'halayla l'baruchoy b'mashe mehane b'ayim v'halayla v'chein hu oimer ki ere shomecha masi etzboisecha yirech v'chicham asher koinanta. Shumariv Aravim Vyoitzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the heavens. Okay, the beginning of the day, beginning of the night, Keshata Oimed Mishnoscha, Vakitsoisahisichecha, when you wake up early in the morning, when you go to sleep, Uvisoichasuvipo Einecha, when you open up your eyes, Tosim Alavavacha Melachtecha, your work, Vitzarkecha, Vikoidim Litakanoscha, Yiras Hashem Dirsiv Yiras Hashem Reishis Doas. What he seems to be saying over here is, he's going to give examples. Okay, he's going to give examples in the next couple of chapters what this means. But basically, is your first priority is to the Yiras Shamayim of your children. That is priority one. It's not just your first priority is to your children, it's to the Yiras Shamayim of your children. Everything that you do in your life, the first question is, what about the children? How will they be able to be, everything that you have, every resource that you have, should be devoted to the children. You give them from the righteous, from the best, in a package that will enhance their Yiras Shamayim. And Amir Shem tomorrow, I have to prepare more, elaborate upon this tomorrow, Mirut Hashem. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We'll take a very short break. And then we have a really, really good topic. A really spooky topic for today. The topic of the Shem Hashem. The name of Hashem. So after the break, we'll talk about that. Let's see what I mean.